ready and racing.
Welcome to the Dogcast for Greyhound Racing SA. Visit grsa.com.au.
Welcome to the latest edition of the Dogcast, brought to you by Greyhound Racing SA. I'm your host, Brenton Yates, and today, as always, joined by Greyhound Racing SA's racing manager, Sean Matheson. And Matho, we have got a lot coming up. The Anniversary Cup just around the corner. We've got the Mount Gambier Cup coming up this weekend. We've got the second final prelude of the Breeders as well. It's all happening. Greyhound of the Year's around the corner.
Oh, yeah, plenty happening. I mean, it seems every week we sort of talk in that sort of vein that there's always something happening in SA Greyhound Racing. And you know, you're right, this week, no different. Prelude, Mount Gambier Cup Final, Anniversary Cup, SA Distance Championship, Greyhound of the Year, plenty happening.
Terrific stuff, and we're going to wrap it all up for you on today's Dogcast.
All eyes will be on the Group 3 Mount Gambier Cup on Sunday, 14th of April. Sponsored by Cadillac Racing. Get trackside for exciting greyhound racing with live music, fantastic food and free kids entertainment. It's a great day out for the whole family. We'll see you at Tara Raceway, located on Lake Terrace East. Gates open 11 a.m. Head to mountgambiergreyhounds.com.au for more info.
Don't chase your losses. Walk away. Gamble responsibly.
The Week in Review.
Our Week in Review is brought to you by Fresh Pet Food Co., proud suppliers of fresh pet food for our Gap SA Greyhounds in the Gap Prison programs, and they are based right here in SA. So simply visit their website, freshpetfoodco.com.au, for more information. Matho, well, probably Mount Gambier Cup will leave just to the side for the moment and get into the crowning of the Greyhound of the Year. And to do that, we need nominations, and they were recently released. Who are they, and how did they go?
Yeah, so recently released, the top five performed greyhounds as voted by the Greyhound of the Year selection panel as finalists were announced late last week, and a terrific lineup, really even this year. Yep. The five finalists could be King for Ben Rawlings. We'll talk in a bit more detail in a minute. Dash of Blue for Richard Pearce, Raver's Army for Tim Aloisi, Where's Poppy for Kieran Corby, and Zippy Neutron for Tim Aloisi, giving him two of the finalists, so terrific for Tim. But, yeah, clearly it looks like there's, you know, the could-be King, Dash of Blue and Raver's Army probably have raced most of the year and raced very much similar company, really. Where's Poppy, the young girl on the scene, who created a big impression, and Zippy Neutron, the stayer, who was a terrific all year. So it's going to be really interesting to see how all of this plays out. I mean, the Greyhound of the Year selection panel will now be voting on who they believe should be Greyhound of the Year, and that'll be announced here at Angle Park on Saturday the 4th of May.
Now, there were two greyhounds who would be on the edge of everyone's lips, I would imagine, given their efforts and exploits through 2023, Victor Damien and Adhana Rico. Now, we don't see any of them in the nominations for the finalists, and there's reasons. What are they?
Yeah, so, I mean, that, as you mentioned, they were the two greyhounds who performed really well in 2023. And so, but unfortunately, due to eligibility criteria that has been set down for years through this whole process, they were deemed ineligible, so weren't able to be considered as a finalist. Victor Damien had returned a positive swab in Queensland, and based on an outcome and inquiry there, was deemed ineligible. And Adhana Rico needed to be in South Australia from a domiciliary point of view for 120 days and had not met that criteria. So both those greyhounds performed really well, but unfortunately the rules around Greyhound of the Year and eligibility deemed them ineligible.
What it's left us with is quite fascinating, and you touched on it a little bit earlier, just about the scope and the width of how these finalists are finding themselves here. I can't remember one in recent memory that has been either so even or had a distribution of age bracketing, experience, distance. Really intriguing as to how the people are going to vote, the panel members, in relation to this particular setup. Should we have a touch on a few key points about each of these greyhounds?
Yeah, now I am on the voting selection panel, so I'll be casting my vote.
Yes.
So I'm... yeah, we can.
Maybe you can throw it to me. I mean, could be King, for example, obviously burst onto the scene in a really big way here in South Australia. Obviously, the crowning moment of recent times has been during the 2024 racing year of the E-Star Champion. But, gee, we saw some really nice scope and coming through. Won the Produce at Gawler as well. So, you know, a young greyhound who is really hitting its straps and
finding its top level.
Yeah, I mean, I think he performed really well during the early part of the year. He raced all year, mind you, during the early part of the year. But he also ran through our feature races through the Nationals, won a heat of the state final. So as much as he had a little bit of inconsistency at really high level, his first part of the year was excellent. But he raced against the best for pretty much all year. So, I mean, his record is really good. 39 starts, 12 wins, 16 placings, you know, around 65,000 in stake money. I mean, he couldn't do much more.
One greyhound that I sort of love the progression of, and just watching the way Richard Pearce went about training, was Dasher Blue. And the ability to find another level after such a long time sort of racing. I feel like we saw him get to another level and be able to be versatile, you know, sprint and get up to that middle distance range where he won the Shane McQueen, and he had that North v South Challenge victory as well. So I really enjoyed the way Richard targeted and prepared this greyhound through the 2023 season.
Yeah, well, 34 starts for the whole year, 17 wins, which is terrific, 11 minor placings. Had that sort of middle distance dominance as well, and certainly had a box one dominance as well. He loved the red box for the year. Also won a heat of the SA National Championship.
Yep.
Ran around in the Adelaide Cup and Gawler Cup, raced all year, but as you mentioned, really versatile and really went to that next stage. And I think a thread through a lot of these dogs, again, they've had periods of dominance throughout the year where they probably were considered, you know, the best performed greyhound in the state at any given time. So, a very worthy finalist.
What about Raver's Army? So we're talking about our sprint rep at the national titles here, Tim Aloisi, with a couple of finalists through Zipping Neutron, the other as well. A greyhound who sort of tried to mix the journeys as well up to that sort of middle distance range and, you know, tended to sort of find his best when there was a little bit of traffic and he sort of was able to take runs and get through with having good luck and then was really able to power away and quite strong times.
Yeah, I think once he got the opportunity came, he won. He was a winner. Like he had 31 starts, 17 wins, only one placing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, pretty much when he was there to win, he won, which is a really good trait to have in a greyhound. You know, 57,000 in stake money, won a heat of the Murray Bridge Cup, won a heat of the Broken Hill Cup, probably would have won the final, but that race was abandoned. Won a heat of the Shane McQueen, and as you mentioned, was the South Australia's representative at the Nationals and acquitted himself very well at Group 1 level.
Yeah.
And 30-14 is best time around Angle Park. So, again, raced all year, and those the first three that we've mentioned all really matched up against each other through the sprint and that middle distance. So not much between them.
Very rarely does a year go by where Kieran Corby doesn't have one that's at the top level. And we saw that with Where's Poppy coming through the Classic Age program, you know, the Oaks winner. And then toward the end of the year was able to step up and go on and take out the Big Ashes final at Angle Park.
Yeah, no, she hit the scene running, didn't she? Like 20 starts, 13 wins, 7 placings. She won the heat and final of the SA Oaks at Group 3 level, which is really hard to do. Normally, there's a dominance of interstaters who come across.
Yeah.
You've got to be pretty good if you're, as a South Australian, SA-bred, SA-owned to win that, and she did. Then towards the latter part of the year, stepped out into open company, and she won the Ashes on a Festival of Fire night, the huge night we had here, the pinnacle race of that sort of series. And she defeated Ahana Rico in that as well, who was flying. So definitely the up-and-coming greyhound. And as you mentioned, Kieran Corby, she's had wonderful success with her greyhounds.
And what about Zipping Neutron? This is the second of the Aloisi qualifiers as far as the nomination is concerned. But when it came to distance racing, there's not much that Zipping Neutron didn't do. Won the Bay Road Queen, took out the Premier's Cup, won the state divisional final of the national title. Track record holder at Mount Gambier, went down there and was able to take care of that as well, and won the Boathing Cup as well at Gawler, the heat and final.
Yeah, no, I think a wonderful year. 24 starts, 20 wins, Yates. He three placings, only missed the placing once, and I think that was in the Group 1 final in Victoria. Wonderful football greyhound for the whole year. 97,000 in stake money. Couldn't have done much more than was asked of him in our staying ranks, and ran time as well. So, I mean, that adds that sort of different sort of connotation to the five finalists, to have that spare in there.
Terrific stuff. Okay, the Mount Gambier Cup heats. Now, we'll probably just touch quickly on those now because no doubt when we go into the final, we might delve into that a bit deeper. But there was a track record over the weekend.
Yeah, amazing. Uriel Bale for Rob Camilleri. Had a really good record, but not like a metro record or like a 16 start, 10 win record. So didn't go unnoticed because he was well in the market, but produced an amazing turn of foot, 432, 1650, and then 29.15 overall to win by close to 10 lengths. Now, he defeated a really good lineup, and you go 10 lengths, you're okay, he's run time here. So he's gone past the track record held by Victor Grosso of 29.18. So 29.15, wonderful performance by this greyhound, and obviously big chance in the final. They did go quick. Initially, a lot of the racing seemed as if you were drawn inside, you sort of had a bit of a battle because most of the chances were coming from a bit wider on the track, and I think that sort of evened out as the day went on. But we sort of 29.15, we saw a greyhound for Mighty Quinn go 29.29, which is actually only a grade 6 dog. It's only won 4 races.
And it drew near the rail.
It drew near, yeah, did. It got a nice run through on the first turn. We saw Tracy Price qualify with Mile Mate, 29.59. And also Jason Newman, both from the southeast, with Purified 29.89. I'm probably running through these a bit Yatesy, and
that's all good because I think you made a good point about how it played and how the races panned out, and I reckon we might dig into that a little bit more in a minute. So that's a bit of a wrap up of what's been happening, and we're about to get stuck into what's about to happen as well.
All eyes will be on the Group 3 Mount Gambier Cup on Sunday, 14th of April. Sponsored by Cadillac Racing. Get trackside for exciting greyhound racing with live music, fantastic food and free kids entertainment. It's a great day out for the whole family. We'll see you at Tara Raceway, located on Lake Terrace East. Gates open 11 a.m. Head to mountgambiergreyhounds.com.au for more info.
Don't chase your losses, walk away. Gamble responsibly.
The Preview.
The Preview is brought to you by the 2024 Anniversary Cup at Angle Park. It's Thursday, the 25th of April. There's an elevated prize money level there as well. $50,000 prize pool, so terrific stuff. It's going to be a great night of racing. We're going to have the SA Championship for the distance as well, the big final. And there's a putter-up promo. You can win a $2,000 Drummond golf voucher. Hospitality packages are selling fast, so visit greyhoundracingsa.com.au for more information. Now, have you found out what the putt-up promo is for us yet, Matho? You were going to go and do a bit of research for us last week about that? Or
it's like a big spinning wheel, I think, yeah. It's
okay.
Like what you got to do there.
So, all right. Yeah. That's a great piece of
insight.
No,
I know, right? just come along. Just be
all right,
there.
It'll be a big night. There's no doubt about that. So that's Thursday the 25th. That's the Anzac Day holiday. Okay, before we get stuck into the Mount Cup, Matho, we've got the final coming up, and I'm really interested on Thursday night of the Breeders' Prelude at Angle Park. A really interesting race. Tell us your thoughts and just run through the box draw for us.
Okay, well, so race 8 on Thursday night. Box 1, Springvale Blitz for Gavin Harris. 2, Winnie McGugan for Don Turner. 3, Spontaneous Nikki Price. 4, Zinfandel Cooper for Shirley Barber. 5, Jukebox Duke for Tony Heinrichsen. 6, Kisses for Clara Ray Fewings. 7, Majestic McLaren for Tanya Foster. 8, Zinfandel Austin for Gavin Harris, Reserve Sarah McLaren and Springvale Grace. As you mentioned, Yatesy, really interesting. And we obviously had the heats last week. You'll notice Zinfandel Evie's not in the heats.
Yes.
She won and was actually quite impressive in winning.
Yep.
She had to do a bit of work and found a way to the front. But she got some injury time. So she just have a week or two off. So she should be fine. But she's not in this final. So the other greyhounds have qualified. We end up with what is now like a super even final where most of the chances, Yatesy, look to be drawn a bit out.
Look, I think that's probably right. I really do think that, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 are maybe the key players in the race. You know, all that said, I didn't mind the way Winnie McGugan sort of was able to knuckle down late and still keep coming behind Zinfandel Evie. But look, I think it's an intriguing race. I've sort of settled with Jukebox Duke in the end. Like, was able to get out, find the lead, and I thought, you know, was able to sort of hit on okay at the end. I like the run, the fact that it's had a run in between, has gone to Murray Bridge over the short course. Yeah. And Tony Hinrichsen's kennel, incidentally, is absolutely flying. He's getting winners. He's getting big odd winners. And these greyhounds are up and running in his kennel. And I think that's always important when you're trying to find some winners. Go with trainers that are sort of having a good run or in some nice form. And I think he's certainly one of those. So I've sort of gone with Jukebox Duke to win. I thought Zinfandel Austin might have been the danger. Obviously, coming through the same heat. He ran off on the first turn, Zinfandel Austin, and sort of had a bit of interference there with Kisses for Clara. But then he was able to sort of get going again. I just wonder if Box 8 and nothing on his outside, no pressure, whether that may suit him a bit better. Yep. I thought Kisses for Clara was a really good run. Yep. I thought copped all sorts of trouble, got a long way back. I thought found the line, although beaten a fair way in the end. I thought it was a good run. I'm going to put it in for third. And Majestic McLaren sort of flopped out of boxes, but then once he got that fence, really powered away. I thought it was the other one for me, number 7. So what do you think? I've gone 5, 8, 6, and 7.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, all the chances have drawn out wide. If they'd have drawn inside, I'd have a lot more confidence. It does bring the other inside four into it, but I'm a bit like you. But I'm tending to lead to Majestic McLaren on top.
Yep.
I do prefer this dog drawn closer to the rail. That's where he wants to be. But he can peel off really fast sectionals, particularly the last half. And he did come from a wide draw 2 starts ago and beat Grade 5 company. So I think if he can produce something like that, I think he should get a decent run into the race, so long as he, you know, so long as he doesn't miss it badly, he should get a decent run into the race. So get him on top. Like you, Jukebox Duke's going really well. It was impressive in the heat, and then, as you said, backed up over the short course at Murray Bridge, going really good for Tony. So I'd have that greyhound in for second, and I do like the other 2. Kisses for Clara and Zinfandel Austin. Similar to you, I think they're the main players in this race on Thursday night.
Well, that's race 8 Thursday night. We'll get a best bet in a moment, but we'll zip down to the southeast.
Yep.
Time to check out the Mount Gambier Cup. Now, this is sponsored this year by
Cadillac Racing.
Yes.
Cadillac Racing.
Okay,
sponsored. So Cap Abbott, Cadillac Racing. So yep. Terrific that he's on board with the club for this.
And let's run through the box draw. So box 1 is Chapel Road, 2 Mighty Quinn. Box 3, Burn By. 4 is Purified. Box 5 is Aston Marvel. 6, Mile Mail. 7, Power of Silence. And box 8, the track record holder, yep. Uriel Bale. What are you thinking, Matho? Take us through the race.
Well, as we touched on earlier, I said about drawn closer to the inside in the heats didn't seem to be necessarily the place to be. And in most finals, Yatesy, you actually want to be drawn inside because it's the shortest way home and you can get some advantage. I do think this final will be a little bit different than the heats. I do think there's...
Just on that, by the way, before you keep going, do you think it was more a case that that's where the talent was and they were able to accelerate and get over? Or do you think there was something else going on that day? Because it was so noticeable what you're talking about in relation to being able to boot up and hold a position. It didn't look to be easy. I'm just wondering, was it the caliber of dog trying to boot through, or was it the caliber of dog that had drawn out wide that was superior to be able to get across? Or do you think that it was a disadvantage to try and be booting through near the fence?
No, I think it's just how it played out, just circumstance. Quite a number of those dogs would not have seen the track. A number of them did. So that could have played a factor. You say the talent seemed to be drawn a bit more fore and out. So they tended to get themselves into the race and knew what they were doing. So I think it's just circumstance more than anything. Had some of the box draws played out differently, maybe the inside dogs would have dominated. But it just seemed through the heats that you just needed to sort of just be drawn off a little bit and use your talent, I suppose.
Other thing you appeared to have to do was be right there. Like, you had to be in the first 3 if you wanted to look at all heats, but in the top couple around that first bend, they were the winners in the end.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think that is the way this race will play out as well. That if you're not in the top three or four, I wouldn't go further back than that. At Mount Gambier, it is really hard to make ground from a long way back, particularly over the 5.12,
yep.
particularly at Group 3 level. You've got good dogs in front of you. They've all come through winning heat, so they all can run effectively 29.5, really. They can all do that. And so if you're not up there, I think you might look for next year.
How do you think it will play out? Who do you like and what's the way it's going to be run?
Okay, so I actually think the way it's going to be run, I think the one Chapel Road will begin quite good for Keir Hurley.
Yep.
And which will enable the two-dog Mighty Quinn, which I touched on earlier, went very fast in its heat as a grade six dog. I think he'll get a nice run in behind. There'll definitely be speed from out wide. Uriel Bale needs to produce what it produced in the heat. In a Group 3 final, it's going to be tough because there's going to be a lot of dogs pushing up inside. But he might get a nice run across with Power of Silence for Clint Trengove.
Yep.
So I think there'll be pressure to the first turn, but I'm banking on Chapel Road being able to kick up and ride a little bit of cover, if you like, for Mighty Quinn. I think Mighty Quinn each way for mine. So impressed with the way that dog performed. Did get a nice run through the heat. It was probably going to be in trouble and got a nice run
yep.
out of the front straight. Kicked up, held off Kai Bale, which is a city metro class at in Victoria. Ran time, came home in 12.50. So I think sitting just in behind the speed, I think this dog can come from off speed, but needs to be right there.
Yeah.
The key for him for mine is Chapel Road. I think Chapel Road will run a big race out in front. I know you like the way the dog went in the heats, so I think it can run a bold race. And I'd be looking at Uriel Bale to just be up and about there. Obviously, track record holder, you've got to put it in somewhere.
Yeah.
And Power of Silence. I think the ones in the middle, I think the squeeze is going to come. How did you think?
Look, it's really interesting. Your point on Mighty Quinn as well is intriguing. Like, I watched the race, I thought, oh, yeah, nice, strong, solid win. And then you see the time. That was the difference to me. Whereas Uriel Bale, you could tell something was going on.
Yeah.
Mighty Quinn, it looked a good win, but you didn't think it had gone that 29-29 sort of realm. It's only a couple of lengths outside. And I thought it was really powerful the way it took the gap and then was able to go on. But just the time it ran and the margin compression that seemed to be there, it was a better win than it looked to me. Visually, it didn't look to me to be a great win, but then you look at the time, you go, wow, that was actually really good.
Again, if this was a different dog had produced that, one that was in the market or something like that, you'd go, I've got to get this dog on top.
Yeah.
But it was $11.
Yeah.
It was really no support for it. I know that it's got ability, but its record doesn't necessarily suggest that it could do that. So I was super impressed with the way it went. Yeah.
There's always a question mark when greyhounds produce PBs, whether that's the top end and then they trail off a little bit, or can they hold and sustain where they're at? And a couple of those greyhounds are probably Mighty Quinn and Uriel Bale. I'm going to go with Uriel Bale because I haven't seen a greyhound obviously run that time where it's a track record. But more importantly, what I was so taken by was, okay, you've got the margin coming off the back, all right? That's sitting at about, let's say, five or six lengths or whatever. But then from off the back to the winning post to then put another four or five on the field with real power was, I just thought, wow, that was something I haven't seen before. And then obviously the record came through, but the style of that win, that's what I'm talking about with Mighty Quinn versus Uriel Bale, like the style of how it's all done and visually looks. You get a different feeling what I did when I saw Uriel Bale. So I'm finding it hard to tip past it. So it's my on top pick. I do know that it's been to the top of the mountain. Can it keep going again? I'm going to say in the space of a week, let's be with it. So Uriel Bale for me, I thought Chapel Road was really good. Had the pace, set outside the lead, and then copped outside pressure as well from the three deep, greyhound all the way, cop buffeting. I thought still battered on really well. Mighty Quinn, I've got to have in. It's probably going to smoke through and get a similar run to what it did in the heats. And to have that sort of time on the board, it's got to be a chance. And I've gone Power of Silence. I thought it was probably one of the few out deep that may have tracked and held its position a bit better rather than trying to smash down to the rail, and maybe seven could be okay for it. But 8, 1, and 2, I think, are the key chances for me.
Yeah, I just think inside and outside are the ones to go. Just on Chapel Road, again, I wouldn't be put off by the time the dog ran. And again, we are talking about times, what the dogs perform. But Chapel Road had to work so hard outside Tommy Tequila in the heat and caught pressure out three wide,
yeah.
and then really ran away in the home straight once got clear of yeah. Tommy Tequila. So it only went about 30.1.
Yeah, this is the other thing. So you can't take the times index. You got to look at the win and the style of win and the style of circumstance around it. And yeah, you're right. The time's not there, but everything else is. Yeah. And when you factor that in and ratio it down, perhaps time could have been there had it had X, Y, and Z go in its favour. The query is, can it boot up and hold outside pressure? Because it's going to be coming. And from the heats, we didn't see any greyhounds. Maybe the first heat, I don't think it won. The first heat place getter it could have been. I think the two booted up, led them and then was crossed and maybe was able to come back again and win, was it? Yeah, as it was. So it booted up. Initially it had, but it couldn't sustain and they swept over. And then it had the run in behind and then was able to sort of get through and go again. So I think that's the key, because I've been to Mount Gambier obviously a lot and I've seen greyhounds boot hard and hold and it's a big advantage.
Yeah.
But we didn't see that on last weekend. I'm just wondering if it's going to be the case. So that's a little asterisk next to Chapel Road, whether it can boot and hold.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay, it's going to be a fascinating final, and that's on Sunday. What's it worth to the winner, Matho?
So it's 25,000 of the winner, Group yep. 3 level. They've got a wonderful supporting program down there as well, and I know they got a huge crowd down the southeast. So, full coverage on Sky Racing. You're venturing down there
yeah.
to do the race call, which the club's super excited about, to get you on course. And I know, I mean, it's going to be great racing. These Group 3 races and the program are always well supported. We had Murray Bridge only a few weeks ago.
Yep.
The Mount have their turn, so it's going to be a wonderful day.
Brilliant stuff. What about the best bets, Matho, Thursday night? Let's see if we can get some cash in the pocket to attack the Mount Gambier Cup
okay.
over the weekend.
So my best bet, you're going to have to wait all night on Thursday night,
okay.
unfortunately.
Yeah.
You're going to have to go to race 12, number 4, Glisten for Kim Johnson. She's been going really well over the short course.
Mm-hmm.
Not much luck last week over the 342. Steps up to the 530 for the first time. But Kim Johnson's team's going really well. She's a like Tony Heinrichsen. Once she's in form and
yep.
the dogs are racing that well. So I think this dog shown plenty of talent over the short course and plenty of speed. So I think this dog can take the step to 5:30 and get the job done in the last race for us.
I don't know you can do that to the punters, Matho. Let them wait all night. I would never, ever do that.
Just keep, you're going to be in race one, are you?
No, mine's in race 11.
Race 11. Okay, fair enough.
So I'm going to go with Quinella, mate. Dash of Blue and Like Wildfire. I know it seems Blind Freddy sort of stuff, but to me, that'll be nice for us to butter up into you in the last. So race 11, Dash of Blue, Quinella with Like Wildfire.
Well, they're all going to be waiting around for these last two races, let's hope.
Terrific stuff. Well, big night Thursday, big yep. day Sunday, and of course, then we've got the heats of the Anniversary Cup coming up Thursday week,
as you mentioned, the final's worth $50,000, the best sprinters in SA, and who knows what's going to come across the border for it.
Yep.
But the way our sprinters are going at the moment, even on Thursday night, that open company race, Yates,
yeah.
has Riot Rooster, Fantastic Spike, Victor Marley, Coron Cam, and I'm missing one there, Triumph for Tim Aloisi.
Yep.
That's a hot race. They're all going to be there next Thursday night as well. So can't wait for that.
And what about the distance championship? How is that shaping up? Do you think we're going to be able to have a couple of heats, or is it going to likely be an all-in final the following week?
Yeah, we unfortunately had two noms for this Thursday night. Both
yep.
Leonard Jinx and Zipping Neutron were yep. nominated. Obviously, our two best stayers in the state.
Yep.
Unfortunately, there was no race for them. Next Thursday night, we're hopeful there's enough to run at least two heats, but we obviously need some numbers to sort of come from across the border
sure.
and certainly locally.
Otherwise, a prelude sort
Otherwise,
of scenario.
Yeah, if we yep. can get a race, we'll get a prelude and then there'll be the one-off final on Anniversary Cup final night.
Terrific stuff. Looking forward to it. Matho, good stuff, and yep. we'll catch you again next week.
Yep.
There it is, the Dogcast done and dusted for another day. Big night at Angle Park on Thursday night. Big day at Mount Gambier on Sunday.